As you may have noticed, our new series, you just saw the title of it, The King Who Cares, looks sort of like a poster that I think all of us have seen at this point. What poster is that? Well, hold on just a moment and maybe you can put it in the chat. But while you're discussing that, I'll just describe the background of that poster. It was created during World War II to encourage people to feel prepared, to feel like they could continue with the things they needed to do in life, even though there was all kinds of uncertainty, even though there was fear of being bombed out of their homes and their businesses, of people around them dying, of course, of families sending off their young men to war and wondering what was going to happen to them, all these sorts of things. That poster said, "Keep calm and carry on." And it was created by the British government to encourage the Brits to keep moving along, doing the things they needed to do in an era that felt anything but calm. It didn't feel well prepared, but in that poster, if you look at it, it's written with a very clear, very bold font that doesn't look overly strict. It doesn't look overly demanding. It doesn't look overly weak. It looks strong, but friendly. And on top of it is what? Symbol for the crown. All that, I believe, was intended to come together to say, we're here for you. You can keep doing what you need to do. We have things under control, and we have the power to see it through. And so you have that poster. Incidentally, it seems that poster was not widely distributed during World War II. It showed up much later. Someone discovered a copy of it in, I believe, 2000, and it became incredibly popular. And people today pass along pictures of keep calm and carry on when someone's going through a stressful time. But it loses something today because in the time it was tied to the strength of the government that was going to protect the people against the enemy aggressor, the Axis powers. Today, if someone, say, here in the United States or Mexico or India or Kenya or wherever you may be joining us tonight, sees that poster, even if the King of England would try to protect his subjects during an enemy invasion, and no doubt he would, does that really mean anything to us if we're not in England? Not really, right? But it does point to something that part of preparedness, and we want to be prepared, part of preparedness is knowing that something, someone, some preparation we've done, something is there that's going to enable us to continue with the things we need to do. And especially when we feel uncertain, when we're confused, when we're scared. We want to know that there's a reason for us to keep calm, other than the fact that, well, if you go running down the road screaming like a maniac, you're going to get locked up. We want something more than that, don't we? Well, Psalm 9 is a psalm for all of us who feel at times like we'd like to be the maniac running down the road screaming because we don't feel prepared, we don't feel calm, we don't know how to carry on. But we have a God who does. And so let's pray that God would help us tonight to feel his preparation, his care, and then we'll dig into the psalm that we're going to be exploring these next few weeks. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. As we all face things big and small that scare us and leave us feeling uncertain, would you help us to be those who have your certainty and your peace in our hearts? Would you help us to share that peace with those around us as well? Pray this in Jesus' precious name. Let's go ahead and look at verse 1. Verse 1 of Psalm 9 says, I will thank the Lord with all my heart. I will declare all your wondrous works. We start here with what God does. And if you notice, we've talked about this before looking at passages. God reminds us of what he does, not in a bragging way, right? Sometimes we talk about what we've done and we do it in order to remind people about how great we want them to think we are and maybe to say something nice about us. Why does God tell us that? It's because he's the king who cares. That poster, to the extent that it has calmed people in the British realms, the empire back during World War II, the United Kingdom today, how's it work? Well, people know what their government's done, and they believe if it tells them to keep calm, that it actually can do something for them. Well, here's the thing. If you trust in Jesus, your king, your government, it doesn't, whatever country you're residing in tonight, it's the kingdom of God. And God reminds us of what he's done so that we can say, oh, yeah, he does have the power to do this. He does have the power to take care of me, and he has the power to take care of me on really big things. For example, if we turn to Psalm 106, verse 7, our ancestors in Egypt did not grasp the significance of your wondrous works or remember your many acts of faithful love. Instead, they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Think about that for a moment. There's a couple things that we see in those verses. I want to pull them up just again here. The ancestors did not grasp what? They didn't grasp how significant God is, how wonderful are his works. And because of that, then it moves on. They rebelled. Even as God was in the midst of rescuing them, they rebelled. And so we see several things here. They didn't remember, but God did. And because they didn't remember, even though God did, they still rebelled. And this is the problem that we often find ourselves in. And part of, I think, what we need to hear is how faithful God is, even when we don't remember and we don't do what he wants us to do. We've been talking on Sunday nights about the Ten Commandments, and we know the different things that God wants us to do, how he wants us to live. What do we know? God is faithful. And so, can we trust that God's going to be with us even when we too forget, even when we rebel? Yes. Does that mean we should? No. There are consequences. They didn't experience the full joy of being in relationship to the Lord. We should turn to him and do what he wants us to do and understand that it's really best for us. Right? If we didn't keep on, we cried out, like my cat Frost is crying out right now. If we cried out and didn't keep calm, and someone were trying to find us to blow us up, like the Germans were attacking England at the time that poster was designed. Well, that wasn't going to help, was it? No, they needed to keep calm. You and I, we need to keep calm, not in the sense that we don't care, but rather in the sense that we know that God can do the big things and that he will do them even when we're not perfect. God rescued his people even though they rebelled. God rescued his people even though he knew they'd rebel further. They weren't going to just do exactly what he called them to do. And it's so important for us to understand. But just as we need to know that God can take care of the big things, we also need to know that he cares about the smaller things, because even though they feel overwhelming in the moment, there are a lot of times that what we're dealing with, they're not the big, big, big things. They're not even going to change the trajectory of your life or my life, much less history. And yet they weigh on us. Take a look at Psalm 71:17. God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still proclaim your wondrous works. What do we see here? Well, we see a God who, yes, he can do big things, but he was also there in the little things. That's what the psalm tells us. From when David was a youth. And you know what's amazing about that? It means that when we're not significant to history in a particular moment, or maybe ever, it means when the problem that we're facing at the moment isn't significant to history now, and maybe never will be, that God still cares. And that if we look back at our lives, we can see that faithfulness in the little things as well, that God handles both. And I think understanding that he handles both is so important, because we're used to people and things that can handle some problems and maybe even handle them really well, but can't handle everything. It's like if you go into Chick-fil-A, what's the joke if you go into Chick-fil-A? You're going to order something and you're going to receive a cheerful response, "It's my pleasure." That's what they do. That's how they work, right? And it doesn't seem particularly ironic or anything, because if you've been to Chick-fil-A, you know they really do run a really tight ship. It's a very efficient place that's going to try to get you that order. And so when they say it's my pleasure, it seems meaningful. But of course, we also know, why are the people standing behind the counter saying that? Well, it's because it's their job, right? They want a job, and presumably they somehow demonstrate that they could do that job, but they're saying it because they're on duty And they're saying it because it's the thing, it's what they're on duty to do. If you walk into that Chick-fil-A and say, "Hey, would you fix my car?" Well, I think I actually have heard stories where a couple of the Chick-fil-A employees went out and helped. But if you say, "You know, I'm trying to figure out, I have an engine light on, I need to get it all sorted out," they'd probably say, "You might want to go to the garage down the street." Or say you're walking through your neighborhood. You're on a stroll because your water main outside your house, it has something wrong with it. It's leaking like crazy, and you're just stressed out. You go walking down the street, and as you're walking down the street, what do you see? You see someone pulling into this driveway, getting off work, and you see the telltale red shirt. There is a Chick-fil-A employee. And you say, I've always known whenever I go into Chick-fil-A and I ask for something, what's the response I get? It's my pleasure. So I have a water leak. I don't know what to do. I'll just walk up to him and ask. I'm pretty certain that person is going to look at you a little bit like you're crazy. What do you mean a water main break? That's something you call major professionals for. You don't ask me. Probably not going to say it's my pleasure. Even if the person's really nice about it, probably not going to say it's my pleasure because it's kind of weird and why are you asking me this? This is not my duty. I'm off duty for one thing, but even if I'm on duty, it's not what I do. Couple things that we see right here at the front of the sun that are really important to for us to hold on to. First, God's never going to have us come to the counter, as it were, as we come to him in prayer, as we seek him out and say, it's too big or it's too small. But here's the other thing that's really important. God's not going to say, hey, but I'm off duty. Yeah, I'm still wearing the shirt, but I'm coming home. I'm going to take a shower, put on some nice, comfortable clothes, and I'm planning to kick back and watch a spring training baseball game. I'm not on duty. No. What God does speaks to who God is, not when he's on God duty, not when he's busy, focused on things in the moment. Verse 2. I will rejoice and boast about you. I will sing about your name most high. The psalmist goes from what God does to who God is, because those two are tied tightly together, far more tightly than for any of us. There are things that we do because we have to do them or because our jobs involve them that the rest of the time we don't do. But God, what he does is who he is. But even for us, we kind of understand the concept. You think about your closest family and friends. If you walked up to them and say, you know, I so appreciate you. I so love you. And I want you to know why. It's because you do so many nice things for me. Would that really build up that friendship, that connection, that relationship? No. Because it would seem like, well, it's really about just doing things. And it really isn't probably how we feel. We might appreciate those things, but for the people we're closest to, it's something more. It's who that person is, not merely what that person does. And we think about God, we're told that what we see, how we get to know him through the things he does, well, that's telling us about who he is. And so we can say more than just God does wonderful things, he is wonderful. And the important thing about that goes right back to how we can count on the fact that he's going to do big things and small things. And we can come to him at any time with those things, that he cares because God is consistently caring. So important. We're not going to come to him and he says, well, that's not really for me because I'm off duty. Or it's not an area I service, right? You get a plane ticket, you need to go to some small town that has a little airport, and you go to your favorite airline, if anyone really has a favorite airline anymore. You go to your favorite airline, and at least you're not most hated airline, and you get that ticket, and then you find out, no, I'm not actually going to fly on a plane from that airline. I'm going to go on a little regional plane that it's a wonder it gets off the ground. It's a wonder that anyone actually can fit into the seat, and everything is so much more difficult. And why is that? Well, it has the name. You came to the airline, and yet that airline outsourced it because it wasn't really their concern. They didn't want to bother with that small job, and they have other things to do. And if you think about how we started by saying God handles the big things and small things, the reason that he handles the big and the small is because God is consistently caring. He doesn't say, this is outside my purview. This isn't the biggest deal for me. And so we can come to him and we can delight in him. and delight not just in his deeds, but in him, and know that circles back around to when we do cry out to him, that it will be done. What we need done, what God promises he's going to do for us, he will do. We'll never look at the ticket and say, oh, I didn't really get God. I got God's helper people incorporated. And you say, who are they? I don't even know who they are. No, even when we're talking about the church and we say we're God's hands and feet, we're not saying God outsourced and didn't really care. We're saying God is with us. He's actively working with us. He's actively serving with us. He's there. And he can do it. He can do it for you and he can do it for me. And so what are we called to do? Called to focus on his goodness. Because focusing on his goodness, focusing on him and how he works, that is, as one commentator put it, the antidote for fear. That's where we're afraid. What we really need to know is that he will come through. And how do we know that he's going to come through? Because he's the one who cares. And how do we know that he's the one who cares? Because consistently, from beginning of history to the end, that's what we see. We see it without exception. We never see that time that God's off duty, that he doesn't really care, that he doesn't know how to deal with something, that he isn't big enough to do something, or that something is too inconsequential. We know that he is the king who cares. And so really, scripture is telling us to keep calm and carry on, but not in the sense that we're just going to have a stiff upper lip, or we're going to carry on even though we don't know what's going to happen. No, we carry on. We do the things that God's placed in front of us because we know that he is faithful. He will come through for us and he will be with us. We can count on that from day to day, that the God who made everything, he's preparing everything we need. He's the God who cares, so we can be the people who trust him. Would you pray with me, please? Father, would you help us to be the people indeed who trust you? That we trust you with every part of our lives, and we trust that you care and that you will be with us through everything we face. Lord, would you guide us? And then would you help us to share with the world that we can indeed keep calm and carry on because you are the God who always cares, every single moment, every single day. We pray in Jesus' name. One of the great comforts of being God's people together is that we do belong to that kingdom. He is the one who is there for us. And so we can gather together as those citizens together and help each other. If you have something you're struggling with, if you're needing prayer or just to talk to someone, we do have our prayer line. We would love to hear from you. Just text into 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. We'd love to walk through things with you. Another great way to do that is to use the comments below. And as you do that, we can just talk as a church family together. And it doesn't matter if this is the first time you're here. If you are a believer in Jesus, you're already a part of the family. If you aren't, now is a great time to say, God, I need to know that there's someone who always is there for me, who always cares for me. And I need you. And you know what? God will immediately make you a citizen of that kingdom. He's not going to say, well, you know, it's a difficult time right now. I'll put you in the pending queue, get back to you in a few years. He's not going to do that. You can trust in him right now. People need to hear this. You need to hear it. I need to hear it. And there are people that you know that need to hear it too. So please do give us a like or a share. Help get the word out so that more people can hear about the God who cares for them. And then please come back next week. We'll dig further into Psalm 9 and hear about how the God who is with us, who cares about us, will help us through the things we face. Have a wonderful and blessed week. I'll see you again very soon.